Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. This is Mary from the Bay.
And it's Courtney from LA. And are you sick of us yet? Because this is our third podcast this week. Oh, and it's just God. Like, I can't get enough of you. I feel like you probably can't get enough of me. And when most people listen to this, it'll be your birthday. Happy, happy birthday. What do you have planned for your birthday
tomorrow
today?
Night,
we're asking like it's today right now.
Tomorrow night, I'm going to Bobo's, which is a steak restaurant in San Francisco that I haven't been to ever. So I'm excited about that.
Is that a family affair? Is it just you and Michael?
No, just me and my husband.
Oh, your husband.
I don't like saying that.
Okay, she just was like,
oh my God.
Your husband.
Then Friday, I'm going out with my gals in the marina. And then next Friday, my parents are taking me out.
I'm going to
North Beach. No.
Oh.
I'm going to hang out in North Beach, changing it up from OJ's.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds great. And what will you do anything this like weekend, or are you going to like recover?
I'm going to a Grateful Dead cover band concert on Saturday.
Wow. I hope you don't run into Shep or Austin, or hope no. You do. I'm not sure what you want.
I wish I would. That would be fun. It would be cool if they were in town to take them.
I don't know. I feel like
very exclusive, this thing that I get invited to. It's basically
the way that Shep treats you on a DM is not somebody I would hope would show up, because I feel like he's very short with you. And you were like, Shep, I'm coming to BravoCon, like would love to see you. And he goes, I'm done for the day. Bye. Like it was
I didn't say I would love to see him. I said, I'm here. Want to be my friend?
Okay. Sorry. The semantics of how you said it.
No, I just said, hey, I'm here. Like, and he was just like, oh, I'm done for the day. Don't want to see
you. No, you're making excuses for him.
Well, I'm going to make a lot of excuses for Carl right now, too. Okay. We're going to have way different opinions on this one.
So we're going to break down. So obviously Lindsay was on the Vial Files, or however you say Nick Vial from The Bachelor, which I don't like him, but it's a 2 hour and like 18 minute podcast. Guys, if you want to listen to it, go ahead and fast forward to about 35 minutes. You can also listen to it at 1.25x speed, and it does not sound like it is on fast forward, which is how slow they talk. Then when you get to about, you're going to get to this weird Q&A portion where they have like callers. I don't listen to this podcast, so I assume this is probably kind of how they do it. Then just fast forward basically to like the 2 hour mark after that, because they sit and like the last 10 minutes with more, you know, what's next for Lindsay. So like when you get to that Q&A part, just keep going fast forward, and then you'll get the end of it.
Yes.
So I just wanted to put that
out. We both listened today. So it's a good.
I was going to mention too that Captain Lee was supposed to have his release today featuring Carl, and that we posted Us Weekly, it mentioned that it will Captain Lee's podcast with Carl will not come out. And there's a few things of why I think. Okay, tell me why. My first one, this is now, as I've given it more thought, this is my top contender. We'll get into it, but Lindsay reveals a lot about their relationship and their life and everything and a lot of like what we're supposed to be seeing next season. And I don't know that she okayed that with Bravo before. And I feel like Bravo might have shut down this podcast and said, you can release it closer to the season. But that they Bravo shut it down because Lindsay had like a post with her and Nick where she's like putting those headphones on, you know, kind of like right. a teaser. And yes. that's not on Lindsay's page anymore.
Oh, I thought that might have been. It was it on.
It was a collab. Feed?
It wasn't like a story.
No, it was a collab.
Oh, okay.
And now it's off of her page now. So my leading contender is that Bravo
got fined.
She got fined. Yes. My second one,
and then like both Captain Lee and Carl don't want it to be released because if Bravo's asking them not to,
right.
And they're both work for Bravo, obviously.
Right. And I assume that Bravo helps Captain Lee get his guests too, because I'm sure this is like a venture for them. My second lead is that this was released at midnight. And look, you guys, I was doing some digging today. Okay. Sure. Captain Lee usually releases his podcast at midnight too, based on previous podcasts. And this was, you know, it was a line. So I was like, okay, the metadata says that he releases his at midnight too. Maybe they were going to pause it. They wanted to hear how Lindsay spoke about Carl, kind of what she said. And maybe Carl just kind of, maybe he either said something on Captain Lee's or he like heard Lindsay. Lindsay, relatively, I would say, was relatively respectful of him within the podcast and the way she spoke.
I would agree. It's not like she was like
bashing him.
Bad mouthing him. She was telling her side of the story.
It was her truth.
And we know there's three sides to every story. His truth, her truth, and the middle. And the middle truth is the real truth.
Yeah. So my thought was like, maybe Carl heard that and kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to let that be. I don't know that me throwing my 2 cents in the ring is something that I should be doing right now. Like, let Lindsay have her moment. You know, maybe I didn't handle things correctly and I just want to let it go.
They were both also very respectful at BravoCon on the panels. Like, it didn't get dirty.
Yeah.
And we do need to realize, like, they honestly lived together. We're going to get married. They were in a 2-year relationship. So I do appreciate them having some sort of respect for one another.
And then the third thing was that I could also see Captain Lee being like, Carl, I don't think this is good for your mental health right now. Maybe we pull back and like you just focus on like your being your best self right now. Because to this point, besides this podcast and an Us Weekly article like right before BravoCon, it's been relatively silent on both ends, like since it happened. You know, everything's kind of been
he hasn't posted on social media as much as she has. He's been definitely like quieter, I would say, than her.
But they even still took the first month off. And I know she talks about this, we'll get in. But I feel like compared to like Sandoval, which was in season, it happened. And Ariana was like, no, I need to talk about this. I need scorched earth. Like if I don't say it, like
that was a very different situation because it was cheating involved with a fellow cast member.
Totally.
So like they were apples and oranges, baby.
No. But I'm saying like that was more like this was like they were both like taking time. Like they've been just relatively quiet about this for the most part. Right. Like even like the email that was leaked that Carl wrote to the wedding guests, like that was a leaked email from like one of their guests, you know, like it's not like they've been coming out and saying all these things as much as I think Lindsay once posted like a thanks, you know, like this has been the first time that we've really heard. Now we won't necessarily hear it from Carl. You're kind of the gatekeeper of your conversation with Carl at BravoCon. Is like you might know the most outside of anybody within like the Bravosphere that's not like directly connected to them, right?
I do think I have bias.
You definitely do.
And I feel like I was like,
I have an unconscious bias. It is.
My poor baby. Like, he's getting attacked all weekend. He's just a nice guy. He's did what's best for him and there and for her. And he knew it wasn't really going to work out. And I think he did the hardest thing by calling off the wedding because he knows that they weren't going to work out long term.
I don't think anyone's disagreeing with you on taking the step to call it off and recognizing that they might not be incompatible. I think people that are potentially upset is because of how it was done, which we'll get into when we talk about this. It's, you know, after like listening, I was like, the whole thing is just so sad because to me, at the end of the day, it boils down to they completely communicate in different ways. The signs that were there weren't necessarily registering or, you know, they were trying
to see like, what you want to see at the time.
Sure. And hindsight is 2020. And the fact that it's been 2 months at this point now and Lindsay sound, I think the good thing for Lindsay is one, I think she was completely embarrassed in the way that this was all brought up and done. And I think that gave her like the permanent ick that allowed her to honestly move on from it. Because like, how do you go back to that when you've been kind of embarrassed in such a public setting and like having the world see you in that? Like it would take, I would almost feel like it would be worse for her to go back to him.
Yeah, they're completely. There like, was no coming back from this. There was no getting back together. And she sounds on the podcast light. She mm-hmm. sounds clear. And she sounds really excited about her future. Clarity. She has like a very positive outlook. Now let's get into it.
Okay.
Because basically I feel like Nick Vial was alluding to problems in the bedroom multiple times.
He's brought it up at least twice about not potentially hypothetically not being able to get it up, which kind of, and then the second time he said it, Lindsay literally was like, stop it, Nick. Like, I'm like, okay, these are things that she said as a friend, like on the side. And then he decided to put it. And that's kind of fucked up. There's so many other issues that like they had, like to kind of talk about someone, like to talk about that. It just feels,
and I think
I don't like
she,
Nick, by the way, I don't I like think him.
She, I agree. I think she gave Carl grace. She's like, this is kind of like Carl's first adult relationship. He's definitely like a people pleaser. And, you know, we were so excited. We were best friends. I told him things that I'd never told anybody. And then I like fell in love with him. Like we just had so many things going, but behind closed door, there was a lot of issues as well. They were in couples therapy since November.
Well, so it was about a year after they were dating that they started couples therapy. And I actually want to give grace to Nick here because this is the one thing that I thought was really interesting, how he presented couples therapy, where he said, well, does Carl like to work out? I mean, like maybe like he almost compared it to physically working out on your body to like the emotional workout of like mm-hmm. he presented as couples therapy doesn't have to be a bad thing. You know, right. We hear that Kyle and Amanda are in couples therapy, like Nick and Natalie
we've
are doing
seen,
couples
we've therapy. Seen Kyle and Amanda in couples therapy on camera.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, I think like the way he presented, I was like, that's a nice way to look at it of just kind of like a check in and making sure that things are okay. And maybe you don't always want to do it. I found it interesting, though, that at some point Carl was saying the therapy's not working.
Well,
and then after the breakup, I know I'm skipping ahead, but then after the breakup was kind of like before she left on her like bachelor, what should have been her bachelorette trip. He was like, let's try couples therapy. He's like, is it working or is it not? And when you come to couples therapy and you're not presenting any issues that you're having, that's why it feels like a blindside, because we go to this to talk through our issues and have a mediator who can look at this from an unbiased perspective. But you're not bringing it up because Carl is avoidant of confrontation.
Conflict avoidant. Yes. I also don't think, I don't think he thinks he blindsided her.
Right. Well, so, this is her side. And then exactly. You know, we're not hearing hers. I think
she does.
To me that
she's like, his demeanor did change the 2 weeks.
I think that's the blindside to me. The blind side was the changing of the demeanor 2 weeks before, but also still posting on Instagram.
That's very confusing.
Like, right. So like she's like, he's saying basically like, don't ask me about my finances. Like I would rather you like not speak kind of thing. He was like getting really irritated with her. It was almost like he was pushing her to the edge that he was seeing if she would end it. Cause you know, that is such a man thing, by the way. You know, we've said it before, freaking men like would rather, you know, have the woman break it off because it's easier that way.
I understand what you're saying. Yes. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very interesting too, that she was like, you know, I kept on asking him like about our future and his finances and that type of thing. I feel like there was definitely a money thing going on. Which I also think it's funny because clearly both of their mainstream of income is the show.
As Paige said, what are your jobs?
Right. And, you know, being influencers and such. And I feel like I would be so curious to be a fly on the wall in that conversation because obviously she's saying like, well, what's going to be your job? Like, you're not doing Loverboy anymore. But it's like, well, what is your job too?
But here's the thing. I think Lindsay could easily go back into PR.
Okay.
I think she easily could do it where, remember, like, okay, I'm going to like age myself here. Remember Lizzie Grubman? She's this blonde, kind of like Tara Reid, like girl.
Okay.
She ran her car into something and she, you know, maybe had an alcohol problem. But besides that, but she almost was like a Kelly Catrone where you become kind of like the PR maven and then you're a celeb yourself. I could kind of see Lindsay going in that direction if need be.
Mm-hmm. But I wonder what their conversations, like she's asking, well, what are you going to do? And he's like, well, what do you do?
And I feel also too, is like while you're on this like reality TV show high and you're being an influencer and you're doing this, you almost are like, I don't think of anything else. What do you mean? Like, this is our job.
Right.
And I wonder if there was a wedding spinoff special where it's like, okay, and then like that's the next step. And then like we'll use that as a sounding board and like then, you know, we'll do something else.
And also confusing because they were thinking about inviting the newer castmates to the wedding. So in her mind, she's like, we had the bridal shower. He got his suit fitting. I was doing the dress fitting. Like everything was pointing to us going to this wedding. And then basically, it is kind of interesting that they came home separately on a Sunday and they don't see each other for multiple days.
She said, He's sleeping in a different room. The lights were off. He was already sleeping. She was like, okay. Or he like passed out on the couch, but then like would go into the guest room.
But she actively avoided going home with him from the Hamptons.
Oh, right. Cause they went to the summer social house or whatever it is.
He goes back to the city without her. Then they don't see each other for multiple days. She specifically says that she didn't want to go in the car with him because she didn't want to get into a fight. Mm-hmm. So something's going down.
But I guess in her mind, though, she's thinking like maybe because, OK, again, we saw a wedding season with Amanda and Kyle where they were at each other's throat. They still get married. Right. Marries. This is you getting like, weddings are stressful.
Never fought more since I got engaged in my life. Like I think I've been together with Michael, like, I think it will be 5 years.
It might be.
But like this last year, we have fought more in the last year than we have done in any combination of fighting.
And I bet you don't even fight now anymore, right? Now that the wedding's over, there's like,
you know, the
I'm giving you an out. I'm giving you an out. Say absolutely not.
We love each other. No, we do. Of course we do.
No, but it's stressful.
I understand the stress of planning a wedding. And then theirs even has more eyes on them. And I think there's a lot of financial things going on as well. I think they were stressed about having the wedding from the finance perspective too. Because obviously, you know, they're going to do these like amazing flowers.
They have deals that they have to do. And they're probably also, you know,
contracts.
Negotiating all of that. I can't imagine, again, how stressful it must be for like for that in the spotlight of that. And so for me, when she was saying like what weirded me out about the whole thing from her perspective is she's saying all of a sudden, you know, we get this text, you know, I go to the Barbie movie with Gabby. I get it. I get out. I have a text from production and Carl. It's a group text talking about how we're picking up filming. I get home. Carl's already sleeping. So whatever.
This is weird, though. But it's like she's obviously too scared to go into his room to actually ask him until the next morning.
Yeah. Because she's probably thrown off and she's like, OK, because Carl is responding right away. Right. So she's like, he cancels couples counseling that morning. I go in there and I'm like, what do you think? What do you think production wants to film about? He evades the question. He basically kind of goes at her and tells her, like snapping at her and saying like he's very close to canceling the wedding. And she's like, okay. And then production comes, filming happens, and it ends on camera. And from what it sounds like is he thought that he could cancel the wedding but still potentially be in the relationship. And she said from what she thought was that he basically wanted her to beg to stay in where she, and you've seen this with Lindsay before, fighting with Danielle, the whole thing where she just goes stoic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm so curious to see this actually break out on film too, because I'm curious how much like it aligns with, you know, how she felt in the moment, what she's like reflecting on. But it's like, you know, that she just was like, okay, this is done. And she goes into the other room, calls her dad, who then
calls Carl.
She asked to call, like, should I call Carl? So curious on that conversation, because my thought too is like, why would she have her dad call him? One, could be like a father figure, you know, It also is probably because like Lindsay's dad might have paid for some of this wedding and him being like, is this the right decision? Because I can't get my deposit back.
Right. And I can understand you wanting someone to help in this situation. I don't know. I don't love.
At this point, I'm also wondering too, because like, I think like if you told me this and there's a camera in my face, like I can see it. I can see two.
I don't believe that Carl, I don't think he understood the full consequences of what happened. And she kind of alludes to that as well. But I don't think he even, it's like, it's almost like the conversation just transpired. And then it's like they were calling off the wedding and then they were done. I don't actually think,
she said, you cancel the wedding, break up. Like, this is it. Like, exactly. This is not you cancel the wedding or you postpone the wedding because you like, she's like, now maybe if he had mentioned to me before, hey, I'm getting cold feet. Hey, I want to discuss. Lindsay is someone who likes to talk it out. She wants to sit there. She wants to have a conversation. And do I think that her voice, like, I don't believe that she's fully always calm in the way that she speaks. And I think that, you know, sometimes you get heightened. Carl is so the opposite of that. He wants to just run. So I think it's one of these things, too, where he's like, OK, if we talk it out, I might not be able to leave at some point. But why is it?
Could you imagine, too, if someone came to you and said, I'm starting to have cold feet and wanting to call off, or like even mentioning that they're beginning to have cold feet?
I think if you I think if you brought it up in couples therapy and said, hey, I'm feeling uncomfortable with, like, that's what I'm saying is like the Instagram versus real reality is wild, right? Like, okay, I'm thinking it's okay because maybe we got in a fight, but then you're saying, I can't wait to marry you and like do this. And it's like, she's walking on eggshells at this point because she also, maybe in the subconsciously in the back of her mind, knows that this is coming, but can't confront it because like, why would you want to confront? Why would you even want to put that thought in your head that like, is this over? Like, are we reaching the point where we just stressed out because we're getting married and the wedding's happening and we just can't agree on things.
And you get like so consumed and wrapped up in it. It's unreal. So elope, everybody.
Okay, let's take a quick break and why don't we elope for the commercials?
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Underwear drawers are like the wild, wild west of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. You've got pairs from 3 birthdays and 2 Christmases ago, pairs from 5 different brands with 5 different fits. And when you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. Now, I felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies, and my other pairs have to all go because MeUndies is all I can reach for. I'm hooked, and honestly, I just feel off if I try to wear anything else. I love them because you can get your classic black, and then they also have like super fun expressive prints. I have these great shamrock ones, you know, when I'm feeling lucky. Plus, they come in all sizes. They have extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody. They also have really great loungewear. MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Go to their loungewear section. Super comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies. They even have an activewear collection. It's super soft. And it's just unmatched comfort. MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all day wear. Go to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/TJG. That's MeUndies.com/TJG for 20% off plus free shipping. That's MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
I have been using Ouai products for years now. That's O-U-A-I. And they just have released a new anti-frizz cream. And if you think about it, everyone has frizz. If you have thin, thick hair, you know, wavy, curly, straight, everyone still has a frizz problem. But you guys can check out their new anti-frizz cream. It provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. Plus it has heat protection. I'm someone that uses the Dyson. Then I straight iron my hair. So this is definitely helping reduce and repair split ends. It quenches the dry hair with intense hydration. And according to consumer perception studies, 90% of participants agreed with their hair looking less frizzy using this product. Plus their scents are incredible. This is a Sydney-inspired North Bondi scent. It has like lemon and violet. All of their scents are incredible. I always use their leave-in conditioner. I use their detox shampoo once a week. I also use their hair oil. I am obsessed with Ouai. Be frizz-free and go to THEOUAI.com and enter promo code TJG for 15% off any of their products. That's THEOUAI.com, promo code TJG, always getting 15% off. Check out Ouai. Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. Peloton accommodates your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. They have some that are only 5 minutes long. And I can tell you with Peloton, if I start just, I'll like do a 10-minute class and then I'm like, I can do one more 10 minutes. I can do one more 10 minutes. And all of a sudden I've done 30 minutes of working out, which always feels great. They have such a variety of classes and so much flexibility. You know, you can move your body in so many different ways. Peloton has a range of class types. So you can do a walking class. Are you really interested in running a marathon? They can help you train for a marathon. They have yoga, meditations, Pilates, HIIT workout, and you can move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations. I get a weekly update with their guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day. Peloton has everything you need to get where you're going, whether it's running outdoors or riding at home or strength training at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get a head start on the summer you with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com. Investing can feel super intimidating and people don't know exactly where to start. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. And you really don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorn recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals and then automatically invests your money for you. I know I'm someone that is not a finance major and investing seemed really challenging. Like I didn't know where to start, and Acorns has helped me so much. Head over to acorns.com/judgy to download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement may not be representative of all clients. Tier 1 compensation provided. Compensation provides an incentive to possibly promote Acorns. View important disclosures at acorns.com/judgy. Investing involves risks, including the loss of principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisor LLC. Acorns is an SEC registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Security, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com.
Okay. The whole thing kind of just broke my heart.
I was so sad after. I was so
I don't know
sad
how she's doing so well, honestly.
I was telling you, I think it's kind of the same thing with like Ariana. I think she was like, granted, you feel, she said, for the first 2 weeks, I felt everything. I set up basically a war room in my apartment. I had, you know, all my friends there and I allowed myself to feel. And then she's like, okay, you got to pick yourself back up. Like, cause we're not,
she didn't talk to him for 2 weeks. She was physically sick. She wasn't eating,
the way growing up.
Yeah, that is very smart. And I don't know how she's doing so well though.
Dubai? I think she's busy. Things are happening
yeah.
for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she went on busy. A lot of trips.
She went, you know, a week after she went to Jacqueline from season one's wedding.
I actually think that was very smart because you can definitely get sit out of Dodge. And sulk and really put yourself in it. But I also love how she's like, well, then, you know, me and my girlfriends, we roundtabled around it and psychoanalyzed him. And I mean, I kind of put all the puzzle pieces together and I understand now. Hindsight is 2020.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
because this is what girls do.
100%.
Like, we're going through the text. We're going through the social media.
And you're
media.
Like, remember? Remember at dinner 4 months ago?
I know.
And you're like, oh my God, it was right there. You know, it's like, I'm so curious if watching this, if it's going to be cathartic for her to see things and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I missed so many things or I didn't allow myself to see this because it's like, there were red flags going through, right? Like, even well, Kyle.
I was also annoyed because they were like talking about how it's going to get edited.
I think it's true though.
It will be.
I'm going to be honest. I think that the editing is going to be on Carl's side for the fact that he called production and set this up, even though he kind of claims he didn't do it. He like tried to tell Lindsay before she went to Bahamas, like he was trying to say like, I didn't, you know, set this up. And it's like, whatever it was, the situation, you talk to somebody on production. I'm sure the production becomes your friends after so many seasons of doing this. And they, you know, maybe like they recommended, hey, would you want to film this? Because maybe this will be the push that you need. Whatever it is, like we've seen that show Unreal.
I just keep on reflecting back to my conversation with him.
And again, she's not going to share this because her and Carl are BFFs for life. Okay. But like there is three sides. And I think in Carl's mind, I think when he was saying like, here was my sign was not doing X, or here was my sign sleeping in the guest room. Here was my, where yeah, as opposed no, to no. being like, the sign was say it to my face and don't make me try to interpret what you're doing. And again, I thought she was very kind to the situation at large. And the thing about Lindsay is like, she's so polarizing, and she even says this too. It's like a lot of people, I think, are happy with Carl because they hate Lindsay so much. And I'm like,
I feel like people right now, Carl is the villain.
I don't think so.
He blindsided her. I think that is the narrative right now. And I think when the season comes out, people are going to switch on Lindsay. That's my opinion.
I think it's 60-40 in Carl. I say this because I think it could be 50-50. I think I was just like, you know, talking to some people, like we were talking to our friends and it's literally like one of my friends and I were agreeing. And then Mary's like, well, I heard a completely different podcast. I'm like, well, you heard what Carl said to you and you refuse to listen to anything else. Lindsay's the biggest liar. But I think people are split.
I've been very nice.
Huh?
I've been very nice. I didn't say anything mean about her.
No. I'm not saying, I'm not saying it like that. I'm joking with you, but I'm saying like you literally the only person, you and Captain Lee
are the only just people who know Carl's side. I mean,
he's being a stand-up guy. He's still paying for half the rent.
He has his own apartment now.
No, he should. He should. If you decide to evacuate a situation, you're committed till June to pay this rent, then you're going to be paying $5K.
And I like what she said.
Not living somewhere.
Is that she kind of was like, you've uprooted my life and now I'm not going to up. Like she was saying, you know, like maybe come June when that lease is up. I think she deserves that. Like,
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's part of the situation of you doing that. I think it's just, again, at the end of the day, they weren't compatible. It's unfortunately, it's just the way that it happened. That's the shittiest part of it. I mean, I literally, like, I was just listening to that and I was like, I feel so sad because, like, if my best friend, the problem is too for her is she's not even mourning the loss of this relationship. It's an 8-year best friendship that is like the real loss here, right? And like all this time that you spent intimately with a person where they know every deep, dark secret about you. And she's like, who knows? Maybe next summer I'll be able to film with him again because, you know, of course she has to leave the door.
That was interesting.
Well, yeah. I think she's saying, I'm going to leave the door open because if it's a he or me, I don't know which way that it's going to go. So I need to be able to say I could do it potentially.
I think good energy is going to come her way. And
I think she goes on the next season of Winter House. Like you said, you think she should be there. If Lindsay was on, single Lindsay was on this season, it would be so good.
This current season?
this current season that's going on. There's something, I told you, there's something like missing. And now there's like taxidermy Lindsay. She was like crypto Lindsay 2.0. But now she's a, you guys, Casey's a fucking weirdo. I'll talk a little bit about Winterhouse after this, because I want to finish our chat about Carl and Lindsay. But I think we should just discuss a little bit about Winterhouse. But overall, I thought this was a very good podcast. I would love to hear Carl's side, because I think obviously there's more to it from like his perspective and like where he thought the signs were and how he was kind of dropping hints in the whole thing. I'm just sad.
Carl, we're open. You can tell your story on Two Judgy Girls.
Yeah. I mean, he told
we'll edit anything not, that you don't want.
But, you know, I think at the end of the day, the whole thing is just sad because it's in this like public space. And that is, I'm sorry, that is a blind side to have it happen on camera, regardless of what the signs were. I wonder, throw that over and to basically say like, hey, you're my partner. Like she even said, like, did he have respect for me? Did he love me to be able to do that? Like, I don't think so.
I don't.
And now he might, and now he might say, I didn't expect that to happen, but I needed the cameras to make me do it, because he, you know, Lindsay says someone was in his ear. She doesn't make it seem like it was Kyle, though. She makes it seem like all the cast. I mean, I think it's also telling that she's in a good place with all the girls on Summer House right now.
I'm very curious if she's talked to Carl's mom since this.
Interesting. I bet she has.
I'd be curious to know.
I bet she has asked that question. Yeah, that's a good, that's, yeah. Now I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, the dynamics are just like, so, because, you know, I mean, when we saw last, she called Sharon mom.
Yeah.
You know, it's a
sad day.
Sad day. But I think, again, I think her speaking 2 months with the perspective that she has 2 months out of it, I think she just has so much more clarity and hindsight from the whole situation. And I think she did it in a respectful manner. And I think we're going to get Carl's side at some point. We're going to see the season. And I hope.
So are you team Lindsay or team Carl or team nobody? Carl did say to me, these Bravo fans, it's either team Lindsay or team Carl. Can't they be on both of our sides?
I'm team no one in the sense. Yeah, I'm on team both and team no one. Like, I don't think anyone wins in this situation. I'm team Lindsay in the sense of it's shitty how it happened and I don't love what he did. But I'm team Carl in the sense of you have to do what's best for you, and taking that step is really difficult. I think she shouldn't have been blindsided on camera or gotten to that point where he could have said cameras down. You know what I mean? Like it's a sad all around. What about you? Because you're probably just team Carl.
I told you I'm biased, so I really can't tell you much. I'm team Carl. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I also, at the end of the day, I think he did the harder thing. And at the end of the day,
could have gone the Luann route.
He wasn't willing to like let a reality show truly like dictate his entire life. And, you know, it's like the next step would have been.
And I will say.
And then, you know, then you really are entangled. So.
Yeah. And I think Lindsay does seem like such a planner. And Carl actually seems more free spirited to me. So I think the stress and the pressure of scheduling life. Like,
well, and they had different lifestyles, I think.
And I think in the beginning, I think the scheduling actually helped him as he's doing his sobriety journey and like figuring all that out. And then I think at some point it was like, oh God, like this is real life now, you know? So I wish them both the best. I've got to say, if the reason that Captain Lee's podcast didn't come out is because of Bravo, all it's doing is making me more interested in this season. Like, I'm very excited to watch this season now hearing this story. And I also think it's a little crazy if it was Bravo of why that didn't happen was like, this is still their personal life. Like, yes, it was on camera, but like, they're still humans who are like dealing with a broken engagement and this whole thing. Like, they should be able to tell their story regardless if it's quote unquote spoiling the next season of Summer House.
I'm curious like how that contract works, because it's,
but imagine not being able to talk about your life.
No, I know. When I feel like when they're in season, they have to get every interview approved. Right now, neither of them are in season. So I'd love to know, are they allowed to do whatever podcast they want? Are they allowed to? I just don't know all the rules.
Yeah. But anyways, like I said, I think that single Lindsay would thrive on this season of Summer House. I mean, Danielle.
Oh, wait, let's talk about Summer House.
Okay. I mean, Winterhouse.
Winterhouse, yeah.
Winterhouse. Did you watch this week, or do you need me to give you a little recap?
I need a recap. I'm just one episode behind.
Okay, so that we ended last week with Danielle and Alex making out, and she says, "Shh, don't tell anybody," right? So
yes.
Then we start the season. They're still in the hot tub and they're making out, and then she goes in the house and tells everyone.
Love it. Good for her. Single Danielle.
He tells everyone, but don't say anything. And then they very much are coupled up. It's very interesting. Okay. Which we know that he's going to try to hook up with Jordan. Next week, the previews are he tries to hit it with Jordan.
Jordan. I don't think Jordan will go for that.
Well, he already tried. Jordan is in to Corey. Jordan is celibate for a year and a half, and she's going to break it for this little fucking shithead Corey. His BravoCon outfits.
Ugh.
But also, Corey literally has a girlfriend named Sam.
Well, Sam even said, Sam is making excuses where she says, just so you know, I
didn't define the relationship.
The first time I went on Summer House or on Watch What Happens Live to promote Summer House was in April. Winter House was taped before. And by April on Watch What Happens Live, we were official then. I'm like, come on.
She gave him the out.
I'm sorry. Here's the thing. If Corey is on a show and multiple people are asking if he's single and he's not answering if he's single or not, he's not single. Okay, that should be your answer. Amalia is a fucking little snake.
Oh my gosh, you're getting very aggressive. Tell me.
I mean it.
What happened?
Jordan says she's got a crush on Corey. Amalia's hyping her up all day long. Yeah, for stuff. At one point, Jordan knocks on the door. Corey has gone to sleep and he sits up in bed because he's like, oh, do I want to do it? I do have a girlfriend, but oh my God, it's technically not official because I've said that it's not.
Door so basically, closed. If the cameras weren't there, he would have gone for it.
We don't know. We don't know. Because then next week, someone's talking. Oh, because then also Casey is talking shit on Sam. Again, Casey's a fucking weirdo. Okay. Excuse me. She's a weirdo. She brings Jordan into the bathroom, so she's talking massive shit on Sam. She's trash, blah, blah, blah.
Because she's met her in New York. Okay.
You're so much better than her. And it's like, Casey, who the hell are you? And then they also do this round. It's very weird. They do this round of called exes. It's Tom Schwartz's game where they make a shot for their ex based on their ex. So people are doing tequila because tequila Katie. And
got it.
Casey brings a literal bag of trash. Real trash.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. And grabs shot glasses from the trash to pour trash juice in.
Ew. That for people
that both drink? Corey and Danielle take because the rest of the group recognize how disgusting it is. Casey's weird. She is weird. I do not
Wait. Danielle actually drank the trash shot?
Yeah.
Was she drunk?
Did she know it was
real trash?
They all kept saying that bag stinks. The trash smells.
Ew. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. She's just weird. She is weird. Okay. I do not like her. She will not last more than this show. Sorry.
What's going on with Brian Benny?
Wait, so then Malia, I want to finish why Malia is a snake. So she hypes up Jordan all day. And then at the end, she's like, oh my God, Corey, I'm not interested in him. He's like my brother. But you know what she does? She spits in his mouth, spits a shot in his mouth.
I saw that. I think that's a thing though.
No, it's probably she probably watched Summer House and saw that Corey and Sam baby spit in each other. No, it was an aggressive spit in the mouth. And then then Jordan has a breakdown. And people, I feel like we're saying oh my God, she's breaking down over Corey, this fucking guy. And it's I think she's breaking down for the fact that she's vulnerable. She doesn't have a plus one in this house, right? She's coming into this house by herself. She thought she could trust Malia. And Malia's just done this shit in front of her face where she's like, did you not hype me up all day? And then you kissed him. She's like, oh my God, I didn't kiss him. I spit in his mouth.
Oh, bizarre.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
I don't like that.
What I hate about this show is that Tom Schwartz is so good at being a doofy guy.
Because him and Katie are going to hook up.
I don't know because I really think Schwartz has no game. They're like, how? She was really interested. He's like, she was?
Very oblivious. Did Amanda get there yet?
Amanda has changed her flight. She's coming the next day. Okay, so she arrives next episode.
How's Brian Benny?
He's just so... The problem with Brian is he would make a great boyfriend, but he has no game. And they say nice guys finish last. Mm-hmm.
Tries to talk a big game too.
I know. And it's is Jordan really going for Corey because Alex and Brian already threw themselves at her and he's the one who hasn't given her the attention? Maybe.
Okay.
I need new blood in the house.
Okay. Well, we do have Amanda coming. Jason comes.
Yeah. But is he already with Giselle at this point?
I'm not sure. And then. I think that's it. Who comes?
Of men?
Just people.
Well, Sam.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Sandy.
Oh, that's right.
Doesn't Riley come from Below Deck as well?
Maybe.
I believe so. I think that we've got some ins and some outs still. You know, this episode was more enjoyable for me than last week, I will say, because it's just so silly. And like, you know, I love that Danielle and Alex are having a little fling, but it's funny.
I love this for her.
Alex said, get under someone to get over someone. And that's like kind of what it is. I feel like for her too, she's kind of like, I still got it. Okay. Like she's making out, she's hooking up with him because she's like, you go do your thing. And then if you want to come back to me at the end of the night, come back to me at the end. Like, she's like, I just need to like feel it.
I understand.
You know, it's silly. It's silly. That's how I feel.
I will watch tonight. I'll catch up, but let's take a break and do Beverly Hills, because I was obsessed with this episode.
What a silly episode. Let's talk about it in just a few minutes.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
All right, we're having truffle mash. We're getting set up at the hotel. I mean, who brought glam? Who didn't bring glam? I understand why Crystal brought glam, because it was her 40th. Erica, we still don't know how she pays for it. Garcelle, good for you. Sutton brings Avi and just bosses him around. Sutton is completely being her true, authentic self. She is a southern bitch.
I texted you and I said, Lisa Rinna being gone from this season has lifted a darkness where these women are their most ridiculous selves now without worrying about like, I feel like every time Lisa Rinna would come on screen, like, they would all be, like, on edge of, like, am I the one who's going to be attacked? It's like, all you need to know is basically Sutton will be attacked every episode. Sutton is the new Teddy.
I also, though, I appreciate her just, like, being herself. She's like, I'm a rich bitch. Where are my pants? If you didn't bring my goddamn pants, I'm not going to be able to go on stage. Avi, where are you? And then, like, poor Avi just like running around the hotel room. This Kai, he is a gem. He's a star. I don't feel like he should still work for her.
I think they have like a joking manner, I hope. But yeah, it felt to me very much after the, you know, when they had their Jones on third in Sutton's store, right, that she probably bosses him around. But I feel like this is what she does. She's like mean to them. And then 5 o'clock rolls around and they have their 5 p.m. martini and they get drunk together and they have a good old time. And then they blur that line between boss and friend.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I also loved Crystal outing her. She's like, so what's the deal with the man in the bathtub? And at first I was like, wait, was Sutton in a bathtub with a man? That's what I originally thought.
No, I think she sent a bathtub selfie, right?
Yes, but it didn't sound like that at first. Oh. And I just love, though, I also feel like she's really like showing us her money this season. She's like, well, I mean, yeah, like we had a great date. We played backgammon and I just asked him, like, do you want to come to New York to this gala with me? It's black tie. It's not a big deal. Like, you're rich, honey. And I love it.
Like, I mean, she was introduced as a rich honey by one Lisa Rinna, actually.
Your triceps look great.
So Sutton was starting to unravel at this point because she's basically saying, like, I get a first date, I don't get a second date. And she's being vulnerable when she says, and all the ladies just start making fun of her. They just go into her. And of course, they're playfully jabbing. But when it's like too much, you don't want to snap because you're like, ha, funny. And like, if I keep pushing it, they're going to keep going. So you're like in this like weird push pull of like, shut the fuck up. And also, like, okay, whatever. You know, I know that they're just being silly. They're just being silly. And then Kyle's like, don't give your phone to Kyle. She's accidentally FaceTiming, guys. Like, and Kyle knows what she's doing.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I love it. It's, like, fun. It's silly. I appreciate Sutton taking around Ocean Spray, cranberry, grapefruit juice.
Not an advertisement. Not an advertisement. Beyonce has hot sauce in her bag. Sutton has Ocean Spray grapefruit. Still not an advertisement.
Also, that's not even good. You need the fresh squeezed. That's like one of my favorite drinks. Tito's fresh squeezed grapefruit.
Well, she doesn't know if they're going to have it. Ocean Spray, though, is legit. Mm. I love an Ocean Spray. Like, okay. If you're going to go to the store and you're going to buy
it, like a Cran Raz.
A Cran Raz, a Cran Apple, just straight Cran from that cranberry bog in Massachusetts. Yeah. Love me an Ocean Spray. I love it. And I like that Sutton, you know, do I think that, you know, Teddy, that's what Teddy did on Watch What Happens Live. She's like, Sutton always carries alcohol in her bag. And it's like, you know what?
No, you got it wrong. It's Ocean Spray grapefruit juice.
I think it might be both. I think it might be a little hotel mini and some Ocean Spray grapefruit. And listen, you never know when you're going to do it. I mean, have I brought She's bottles particular. Of wine to the movie theater? Yeah. Yeah, I have. You never know when you're going to have a drink.
I get it.
And she's living her best life because she's rich, honey.
She's rich, honey. And same with Crystal. Crystal bought herself a $6,000 purse, you know, a little
bit. Oh, so cute. Herself. Valentino. I loved it. It's loved cute. It. Remember that $91,000 Birkin that she had that looked like a house her first season?
I mean, these ladies are seriously so rich. Like Kyle.
Except for Dorit, because Dorit's not bringing glam because she's poor as hell and there are financial issues in the Kemsley household. The fact is because the other women had glam, meaning Dorit could have been like, oh, I didn't realize we were bringing glam. Can I pay your glam person? But she's like, but I don't. She's like, Sutton, give me those dollar bills, please. I need glam.
How come Kyle didn't bring glam then?
Kyle never brings glam on trips, really. I feel like she splits it with somebody.
Okay.
And you know what? Kyle's feeling herself so much, which good for her. I forgot that her friend had passed last year, too, which I think was also a reset on everything about how she was evaluating her life. Mm-hmm. Kyle is in her do not give a fuck era. She looks good. She feels good. She doesn't need the glam anymore because she's like feeling her best self.
I do think it's interesting that Dorit's like saying she's living in such extremes right now.
It's not sustainable. It's like, what is she doing? What is she doing? Because she went to the gym at 6 a.m.
I think addicted to working out.
Okay, what would we rather have her addicted to at this point?
I saw her biceps. They were banging. They looked great.
Also, a Vegas gym is one of the better places of a hotel gym.
I've never seen one.
Oh my God. Last time I was in Vegas was for a work trip. So I feel like that's fair for me to go to a gym on a work trip.
Sure.
I went to, what hotel was that? Oh, at the Cosmo. It was so nice. The gym was so nice. It's like, this one sounds great.
Okay. I'll never see one in Vegas.
And everyone
there,
and everyone in there, so good looking. And they had like tennis courts and like pickleball. I was like, what the hell? What am I doing in Vegas? Drinking?
Big pickleball capital of the world.
Vegas?
Oh, I just made it up.
Pickleball is so popular. You could tell me that. I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So we're heading off to Magic Mike. Like Sutton mentioned
Let's talk about the outfits.
Multiple times. She's like,
I packed pants. Avi wears the pants.
I don't like wearing the pants, but I'm wearing the pants because I want to go on the stage.
Where are the ones? I have the ones. Erica's like, I can't touch that money. The tax people will be after me.
Erica has been killing me this season the best way. First off, I know it's Ozempic or hormones or whatever. She looks fucking fire. That pink latex confessional look, I'm like, your waist is insane, and I'm not promoting it, but I think like she looks good. The fact that she's like, it's Lent, I'm not fighting. She's living her best.
This is
right
a
now.
Very good look for her.
Yes. I loved the outfit that she wore. She had the black like leather pants. She's wearing kind of like a sheer shirt. She had a harness on.
She did?
Yes. Oh, yeah, she had a little black leather harness on. If anyone's a fan of Sammy Jeffco on TikTok, you guys know what's up with the harnesses. I just thought she looked fabulous. You know, Sutton, it wasn't a look for me. White flowy pants and a kind of like Britney Spears toxic top, if you will. It's like the kind of like the sheer diamonds. We had Garcelle in a pink.
So tiny. She always hides her body. It's like
she's got her little dancer leg. Yeah. Garcelle was in a pink Valentino dress. Shirt dress. Dorit was kind of in like a leather number. Kyle was in a black tight cocktail dress with like rhinestones. Crystal had like a green velvet outfit. Am I missing anyone?
No, that's it.
Yeah. I liked all the looks.
No, it was super fun. It was very Vegas. They get to go to the show. Mikey's boyfriend is in the show. Erica, you know, she's got
is
her
Mikey
residency.
The longest lasting friend of in one of these shows. I feel like he shows up at least at once a season.
Seriously. And he shows
he's
people
the Dwight
at Bravo.
He's the Dwight of Beverly Hills. Dwight of Atlanta.
He showed people at BravoCon how to pat the puss. It was a tutorial. It was on a panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Erica's own panel.
But I loved it. So right away, they come over to Garcelle, give her a little dance. Then Erica and Crystal get taken up. And Erica's such a true performer.
She was a showman.
Though.
She, you know, like at BravoCon where she was a showman to say Dorit and PK are the next to go. She said, you want me to commit? I'm in.
Right. And you can even hear the guy whisper to Crystal. You can see him say like, will you jump on me right now? And, you know, you're jumping on the guy. And
Sutton's blood is boiling.
She is like, she's like, I can't.
What?
These motherfuckers didn't pick me. I wore pants.
Granted, they also picked the other two people in pants. And Erica set it up, and it's Crystal's birthday. Like, Sutton, take
but
a
also,
breath, babe.
If she had stayed longer, a la Kyle, she could have gotten the whipped cream section.
Well, I don't know.
Also,
she was wearing pants.
The whipped cream section happened once on the leg, then on the boobies. And
I mean, my favorite
like
part
it was a big fuck you to Mo. And then she said Mo wouldn't even care.
Well, because she's like, I've seen him do it to somebody else. So this little fucker. Oh. She's like, I'm taking him down. Yeah. Mo basically catching strays, not even being on this episode. Like, he won't care. And he knows why.
I remember when they went to this and I saw it on social media, but I'm surprised we didn't see more videos of like this whipped cream moment. And
what do you mean, Mary? Half the group left.
No, but from fans.
Oh,
from people at Magic Mike.
I wonder if there was very much like a cameras down kind of thing. Like we're recording for Beverly Hills. Yes, you can. If you put a sign down, like FYI, if you come to this taping. Mm. I don't know. Maybe there was. I have no idea. I'm not. You're the stories one. Like, you're more in real time.
But I mean, we just didn't really see this on social media. And we also know that like her relationship with Mo is unraveling at this point. There was already rumors started.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And so Sutton's freaking out. She's like, I live by a different. She's like, I've got to leave. And she walks out. She's like, I am on the American Ballet Foundation board. I can't be here. She just starts, she's huffing and puffing, and she goes in the bathroom. And Garcelle, who's having the time of her life. I mean, these women are having the time of their lives.
So bad for Garcelle. There's nothing worse when you have to leave a party because your friend is crying or upset at mad, and you can't have the fun. That is not okay.
Like, and that, I mean, not only that, Crystal, whose birthday it is, who's again having the time of her life, is like, Sutton's upset, so we all have to go. And Crystal leaves, and Erica and Dury are like, fuck this.
I love, though, that Kyle was dead sober. And she's like, Sutton,
Kyle wiping the whipped cream off with a towel. She's like, so what's going on out here?
She's like, you're clearly jealous that we went to go on the stage and you're mad that you wore your pants. And Sutton's like, this has nothing to do with the
pants. It's the integrity. It's the integrity. Okay. His face was in her crotch. I am on the board.
Well, and then she's like, well, you keep on talking about your brand. Like, you're just being a straight up bitch, you know?
Oh, I love, I mean, listen, I think I would have been curious. Did they ask Garcelle to go get Sutton? Like, what if they just left Sutton in the bathroom? No,
you just checked. Then it would have gotten worse.
No, because I'm wondering if then she comes back and huffs and puffs back into the show. Like, I'm like, what would have happened? Because Garcelle, you can tell Garcelle is like, I got to pull her out of the bathroom because cameras have to capture this. Because she's saying, yes, come out.
Absolutely.
Come out. And then she's like, okay, now sit over here because my feet hurt. Which I could tell that Garcelle's feet did hurt because as she got off on the bus, she was shuffling to the end. She was done with those heels, you know? But it was like, they're like, you got to get her out and film. We got to capture this, like, full breakdown.
I mean, I also love how all the other women are like, we are consenting adults. We are all also married. None of us feel violated. We are having so much fun. We're having the time of our lives.
Judge Judy on the bus. I
know. But Erica did such a good job by not reacting. She was just
She's like, I've still given up fighting for Lent. But not going to do it. She's also, I feel like they're all pretty drunk at this point too, minus Kyle.
Well, they're like, what did you think we were going to? It was Magic Mike. We said wear pants. You talked about wearing pants on the plane.
And panties.
You brought your ones. You said you hate pants and you're just jealous. Just admit you're pissed you wore pants and didn't get on the stage.
Like, it's so silly.
Just admit it. And Kyle's come on, just admit it. Just admit it. It's not about the pants.
It's not, you know.
It's not about Tom. It's not about the pants.
And it's just, the whole thing is funny. So then they go back to Resorts World. And at this point too, I think Sutton's kind of like, I also think that Sutton is upset by the women kind of calling her undesirable, because then when they go to this dinner, I feel like she's trying to prove that she's desirable to these women, not for them to men like me. And like, I'm kooky and kinky and horny and, you know, all these things. And it's like, I think she just is like, from them making fun of her earlier, then like feeling like second place by not being picked out of all of them, which Dorit wasn't either. That's unless we didn't see that. But like, to not feeling picked there. So then being like, oh God, I can't even get a Magic Mike guy to dance on me. And I'm here filming a show. And like, technically, like, this is my Vegas. Garcelle and I have brought you guys to Vegas to celebrate Crystal. But like, you would think just down the line, like, I would be picked here. I'm not even that. I'm upset by this. And then like, not only that, is like, nobody's really giving me the attention of it all.
But then she's like, but I'm going to show you guys I'm kinky. Kyle, yeah, maybe I didn't watch porn with my ex-husband, but I'll show you. I'm a good time girl. Have you ever had sex to Cody Jinx somewhere in the middle?
Never heard that song. Have you? Do you know that song?
No, I have no idea.
Like, well, so before that, they sit down, and it's also like Sutton's also sat right in the middle of the table too. She apologizes to Erica, and Erica's like, okay. Like, Erica's like, I'm not doing this shit. Erica's riding her high right now because, you know, Erica, Vegas, if the rumors are true and that Erica is dating like a guy, like a hotelier from Vegas, her town now.
Right.
You know, she's got those dancers because Mikey's partners. Like, she's got those dancers. Like, this is her night. She's hosting everybody. She's having a great time. And then Sutton, like, watching her try to eat the fishball and everybody making fun of her. Date. And it's like, you know, and then they bring out, and what did I tell you? I fucking hate when they start.
Lisa Rinna used to always bring them out. Did you notice how they didn't
a lie.
They didn't say who like brought them out.
Well, I'm like, no, Kyle brought them out.
Oh, Kyle brought the cards out. Oh, I guess she started it. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, did you put that in your purse or did like production hand that to you on the side that you started?
Handed it.
What's your favorite song to fuck to? Okay. I'm probably maybe going to get shamed for this. I'm never let me put on a song and I really think this is going to get us in the mood. Like, I never have done like, that. Let's have a playlist going to see if we want to fuck. Are you like that? Like, I'm never like, oh, we're like, maybe like, you know, oh, okay, it's like, you know, it's going to happen. I'm like, hold on, could you pause? Could you pause? like to play some music. I'd like to play Al Green, maybe some Boys to Men, maybe some Cody Jinx.
Lights off, silence, 5 minutes.
Silence? This is just Mary. You just hear this. Michael, are you done for a bubble bath? Mary sets a timer. She's like, I can't play music, but I can't set my phone timer. 30 seconds left, Michael. You better hurry up.
Okay, now I can't edit this.
She's like, I'm doing it twice a day.
And she's such a liar. She's like, I have so many sex toys. But then
oh my god,
like,
people tell me about my nipples too. Oh my god, I love sex toys. I heard vibrators might change your clitoris.
She's like, I think it gets desensitized. Like, although I do travel with one.
Avi, where's my vibrator?
You know that like roller that she used last year?
Is that as a dildo? It's a two-for-one. A two-for-one. I hope she just cleans it.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Thing was like,
I'm not buying
okay.
it.
I also loved Crystal calling Dorit out when Crystal's like, oh, best compliment I've received. I have perfect nipples. I'm like, okay, so maybe everything had to be sexual. And Dorit being like, oh, what? And then her being like, Dorit, you've never seen a real body part for the last 10 years. I was like, oh, my God.
But what could Dorit do to Crystal? You see Dorit being like a total prude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
PK, 5 minutes begins now.
I definitely do think she's a prude. This episode was so fun. I also love that it was only in Vegas. We basically went right to Magic Mike. And then we were just dealing with the next morning. Erica hungover as fuck, sunglasses on. Kyle hitting the gym with her Birkin bag. Mm-hmm. And I love also like Erica and Dorit talking shit because that's what happens on trips. When one person leaves, you talk shit about them.
You have to recap the night. And then so then they all sit around for breakfast. And Garcelle's like, hey, I'd like to bring up something. you know, I don't want to be disingenuous with the group. This was a little out of left field for me with Garcelle, I guess because Oliver lives in Vegas, and I wonder if this is like similar timing when all the Raquel stuff was going down too, potentially like after it.
I know it's kind of interesting. Like, we don't know what time of year it is right now. Are we
in like spring?
No idea.
We must be in spring because remember VPR producers had to use the Beverly Hills producers to film again in March because they were an active show.
Then I would also think. I would maybe even think it's like January or February.
Yeah, I was thinking February perhaps. Like I was thinking it was like, yeah, the beginning of the year. Well, I guess we could just look up Crystal's 40th birthday. That seems like a context clue. Hold on one second.
But yeah, Garcelle's like, and I don't trust you when it comes to my family. Mm-hmm.
February 4th is her birthday. So yeah, look at us.
And Dorit's like, Garcelle, it's been like over a year. Like you kind of got to get over it, you know?
Hey, you know what? My house got robbed and I was robbed at gunpoint, but I'm not over it. But you need to be over this, okay? Because the PTSD is my storyline this season. And don't you think you get a PTSD storyline with your son and kids just because we told him to fuck off last year? Like, and I understood what Garcelle was saying, where she's like, I know you apologize, but I'm still going to let you know that just because I accepted your apology doesn't mean I'm over the situation. And when you brought up Oliver yesterday, like, that's what I felt like it was. You brought up Oliver yesterday, and I want to be real with you because, yeah, I'm going to go to lunch, but I don't want, that's it. Like, that's all you get to know because I'm worried about what could happen, even though I know you've apologized.
I also think it's like, because I also equivalent, like, I mean, I guess Kyle did apologize to her and whatnot for the situation.
It sounds like maybe Dorit really hasn't apologized for PK. And so watching it back, it seems like, you know, you guys made fun of it, even if you weren't trying to. And so it's like, I just don't feel safe sharing these stories. And maybe she wants to share these stories too, because she's sharing with Sutton, right? Like the boys, you know,
they want to live with their dad. They feel like I haven't been mothering them the right way. And they don't even need me. Like, have I screwed everything up? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm.
She should talk to Lisa Barlow.
Good point.
I wonder if they chatted at BravoCon about it.
But it was also interesting, too. I feel like Kyle, she's so clear. Because usually she has some drinks. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she's like not even like buying into it all. Like, she's like, all right, like,
we apologize.
I'm kind of done. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's like,
well, I think Kyle heard her and understood, and then was like, okay, if that's how you feel, then like, that's it. Like, we have to move on in the sense of like, you'll have to gain our trust. And when you feel like you want to talk about your family, sorry.
I feel like Kyle this season, though, like, I've seen so many like slip ups with her. Like, I feel like she was looking at Sutton and was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you look like an idiot. But before she would have like played into it more. And even in this situation,
she would have grabbed. Yes. Sutton. She's like, remember like last year with like the miscarriage thing, and she's kind of ragdolling her around.
Totally. Cause she was drinking.
Yeah.
No. And even like listening to Garcelle, she's like, oh, here we go with this bullshit. Kind of like
she's almost like, God, there's so many more important things in life. And I can't believe this is what's transpiring right now.
Yes. You can like see multiple moments where she's like, I'm still doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
But much more important things are going down in my life right now. Like, my husband doesn't care that whipped cream was just licked off of me. Like,
yep. You know what? Post all the videos you want on social media, please.
And I might be into girls. So,
yeah. Well, on that note, it's been real. Okay, guys. It's been fun. Happy, happy birthday, Mary.
Thank you.
Hopefully someone will take you to Magic Mike, or you could just have your own Magic Michael.
Oh.
No sound.
Set the timer.
Lights off. Five minute timer. Here we go. Happy birthday. Love you so much.
Love you.
Have a great rest of your week, everyone.
Bye.